You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
An urgent open letter has called on the Minister of Justice, the Honourable Paul Goldsmith, to amend the Crimes Act to include the act of stalking. Producer Ezra spoke to co-director of the New Zealand Centre for Human Rights Law Practice and Policy at the University of Auckland, Carrie Leonetti, about why criminalising stalking will help prevent innocent people from living in fear.
How would including stalking in the Crimes Act protect victims? And are there examples from other jurisdictions that this would work?
The problem that we have right now with stalking is sort of twofold. The first is that there are pieces of stalking, like bits of behavior that might form part of a pattern of stalking that we have scattered all over various criminal provisions. So in the Crimes Act, we have a criminal threats provision. In the Harassment Act, we have a criminal harassment provision. The Trespass Act creates some pretty minor crimes relating to trespass. But we don't have a singular definition of stalking as a pattern of behavior that's clearly defined anywhere or located in the Crimes Act. And the second problem we have is that even if you take these scattered provisions that currently exist in various statutes and put them all together, it still doesn't capture sort of all of the conduct that is stalking, or really the more fundamental essence of stalking, which is this pattern of harassing, controlling, intimidating behavior. So we've just sort of failed to acknowledge stalking as a freestanding, standalone offense. It is not always, but it is typically something that actually occurs in the context of intimate partners and in the context of separation from an intimate partnership. And so we just need to recognize the nature and the extent of this crime and put it in one clearly defined place in the Crimes Act. And I think probably the best example of this actually is about 5 years ago, Parliament created a standalone offense for strangulation in the Crimes Act. And obviously, strangling somebody was already a crime. It's an assault or an aggravated assault or an attempted murder. But by naming strangulation as a separate type of offense, defining it and putting it alone in the Crimes Act, it helps to signal to police, it helps to signal to prosecutors, it helps to signal to judges that this is a very specific and harmful kind of conduct in its own right, rather than just one way that a person could commit some of these other disparate crimes that we have in the Crimes Act.
Could you please speak on the prevalence of the issue of stalking that inspired and led to the open letter?
So we have a standing Family Violence Death Review Committee in New Zealand. I think they've done about 7 or 8 reports now. But they investigate family violence-related homicides, and then they kind of report out on some of the systemic failures that we have to protect and victims of family violence and prevent family violence. And so we know from the Family Violence Death Review Committee that, first of all, stalking is just harmful in and of itself, that victims who experience stalking suffer significant kind of psychosocial and liberty harms from being stalked. But we also know that stalking can be a red flag for lethality, can be a red flag for homicide. We know that a lot of women in particular who were killed by current or former intimate partners were stalked before they were killed. And so it's also just a red flag for danger. And I think that's one of the reasons why we need to name it and codify it as a standalone crime, is so that police can then be trained that stalking is harmful in and of itself, but also a big sort of risk flag for potential homicide. And it needs to be treated as the dangerous conduct that it is.
Aside from legal recognition, are there any other potential avenues of addressing this concerning issue?
So I think we also need much better training for frontline constables, the people who respond to things like 111 call-outs. And we need better training for prosecutors, and we need better training for judges in the criminal justice system, as well as in the family court system. Because a lot of the behavior that underlies stalking does fit within various scattered criminal provisions already. But we've seen sort of a systematic failure of police and other justice systems officials to recognize stalking when they see it. So while it's an incredibly important first step to criminalize stalking, criminalizing stalking won't do any good if the people whose job it is to enforce those laws don't understand it. I mean, stalking is complicated. I think people tend to think, when they think of stalking, they tend to think of strangers stalking celebrities, making death threats, and sure, that happens. But most stalking is actually an extension of what's known as coercive controlling behavior that we tend to see in the wake of separation, sort of domestic violence, and then separation from intimate partnerships. And so if we don't train justice system personnel to recognize stalking, then criminalizing it actually isn't going to do much good. About 4 or 5 years ago in the UK, they criminalized coercive control, and people got really excited. Experts around the world thought, finally, they're criminalizing coercive control. But one thing we've seen in the UK is there's been incredibly poor enforcement of their coercive control crime because the police don't understand coercive control, and they're not able to identify it when they have call-outs. And so if police get called out and people are reporting stalking behavior, but they don't recognize that it's stalking, they may code this as a non-event, as there's sort of no crime here, there's nothing to follow up on, there's nothing to investigate. So the criminalization will have to come hand in hand with a lot of training, as well as just raising awareness for victims and their support system. Sometimes policing can be really bureaucratic, and it might be as simple as a victim knowing to say, I'm being stalked, rather than I'm being followed around or I'm being surveilled or my email is being monitored. I mean, it's important for people, I think, to start using the word stalking and recognizing the concept of stalking if we're ever going to have enforcement of a new statute.
Could you please speak about how those listening and interested in this development could get involved?
Well, we live in a democracy, so I think the best way for ordinary citizens to get involved is to write to your member of parliament. I mean, they all have email addresses, so email your parliamentarian and say, I think it's unacceptable that New Zealand has failed for as long as we have to criminalize stalking. I mean, it's criminalized in most parts of the United States, Australia, and the UK. So I think it's important to write to a member of parliament and say, this needs to happen. But also, I think it's important to say, this is a priority. It needs to happen urgently. All four of the major political parties promised before the last election that if they were in power, they would criminalize stalking. I don't know of anybody who on the merits, I've never heard anybody say to me, it's a bad idea to create a stalking offense, it's a bad idea to criminalize stalking. I think we've failed to criminalize stalking because it just isn't a priority. Because when most politicians go to the beehive, they have five other things they want to do instead. And so I think writing a member of parliament, sending an email and saying, we need to criminalize stalking and we need to do it now before another woman dies in a way that was preventable, right? Before another woman calls the police, is told there's no crime, and then dies, we need to criminalize stalking.
That was Ezra speaking to the co-director of the New Zealand Centre for Human Rights Law Practice and Policy at the University of Auckland, Carrie Leonetti, about why Aotearoa needs to criminalize stalking.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.